We say on Rosh Hashanah, we say Sifrei Chaim, or Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim, that the book of life, the books of judgment of those who are alive and those who are no longer with us are open before God, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Day of Judgment on Rosh Hashanah. And the commentators all ask that the book of those who are living, the book in which all the actions and deeds and merits of those who are living are open in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, open before God on Rosh Hashanah, that seems to make a lot of sense, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu today is judging everybody based on their deeds, based on their merits. So he has to see, what did you do? What have you accomplished this year? What deeds have you done? What mitzvahs have you done? And if indeed you deserve for the following year to be granted life or not. But what does it mean that the Sifrei Mesim are psuchim before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the book of describing those who have passed on already, the book that where their deeds are inscribed, is also open before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Day of Judgment? What is the need to have the book of those who have already passed on open in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Once a person is no longer in this world, he no longer does any mitzvahs, he no longer does any averis. His deeds have already been done, totaled, tallied, and his share in the world to come has already been determined. So what is the need for HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Day of Judgment of Rosh Hashanah to look over the deeds and mitzvahs of those who are no longer with us, who no longer have lived with us this past year? And the Mefarshim all explain, well-known concept, that indeed those who are no longer with us can continue to merit more zchuyos, continue to get more and more merits in the world to come. And that is based on the actions of their children, of their families, of those with whom they've come in contact with over the course of their life. Even just yesterday, I was with somebody who he was encouraged by somebody to learn two mishnayos a day. 6 years ago, he was encouraged by someone. Someone gave him the inspiration to learn two mishnas every single day. 6 years later, he finished the entire six darim of the Mishnah. And when he made his siyum, he made a party to celebrate the fact that he finished all Shisha Siddur Mishnah, all the Mishnayos, he encouraged four or five other people to join on this project. Last night, he bumped into the original person who gave him the inspiration to start learning to Mishnayos a day. And he said, when you inspired me to learn to Mishnayos a day, you thought you were just inspiring me. But now, 6 years later, that I finished, I've inspired another four people. And those four people, when they finish in 6 years, they'll inspire more people. So all those people, the hundreds and hundreds of people who are going to learn Mishnayos, are all because of you, all in your merit. Someone who inspired people in her lifetime, in one's lifetime, she continues, her merit continues to grow and grow year after year based on the merits of her children, based on the merits of those people whom she was able to inspire through her deeds. And as we heard from Rabbi Singer, and we'll continue here throughout the evening, the great deeds of Mrs. Check in her lifetime inspired many people. And now, as Rabbi Singer mentioned, the schus, the merit to have Sfarim, to have a library, in the merit donated by her family, in her merit, so that all the Torah that's studied from those books will be in her merit, is a tremendous, tremendous zechus. The Rabbi Werner will discuss a little bit the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, and I just wanted to pick out one point which is relevant a little bit to this, to the concept of donating books and libraries in the merit of one who has passed on. The Sefer HaChinuch says, why did the Torah, the last final mitzvah in the entire Torah is where the Torah commands each and every one of us to write our own Sefer Torah. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, just one point, he says, why is it that the Torah commanded every single person to write their own Sefer Torah? What's wrong if there's one Sefer Torah sitting here and everyone goes and studies it? Why does everyone have to have their own? So he says, because sometimes when there's a new one, someone just wrote a new Sefer, a new book, someone will be inspired. You know, I don't like the old one. I don't like the old print. I don't like how the old one looks. It's not so fresh. And when there's a new thing, someone will take it off the shelf and open it. He says, He says, "V'gam l'man yikru b'sfarim chadashim kol echad v'echad misal pentakutz nafsham b'karim b'sfarim ayishanim shi'anichu lehem avoseyem." That a person may not enjoy so much to study from an old sefer or to study from an old Torah, but he sees a new, beautiful, fresh sefer Torah that's just been written. He'll take it off the shelf. He'll study it. And in order to encourage each and every one of us to study the Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us a mitzvah, we should write our own Sfar. And the Sefer Chinuch continues, and he says, this is not true only true by Sefer Torah, but it's true by Sfarim, by books added to libraries. When there's a new, fresh Sefer, a new, freshly bound book, a person may get the inspiration, pull that book off the shelf. And maybe in that book there'll be one idea that will inspire that person. And that's part of the idea of adding on more, and constantly adding on more Sfarim to a library. Everyone will find a specific book or a specific topic that interests them. The specific topic that Rabbi Werner chose to dedicate to his mother is that of Musar and Hashkafa, those books which are describe Jewish ethics. And we hope that it will be a tremendous schos. People will come by, see the new Svarim, see something that interests them, and pick something off the shelf. And that little bit of inspiration that they will merit and they will get from those books will be in the merit of his mother. I just saw a story written about, I think his name was Mordechai Feinstein, I think his name was. And he was an old European Jew, and he had next to him a child, his grandchild. And they were davening slichos before Shoshana together. The slichos, the prayers that we say in preparation, in anticipation for Rosh Hashanah. And they're saying all the prayers together. And just as the old man is praying loud and he's yelling all the psukim and all the tefillos at the top of his, with a strong voice, the little child is also, he's doing the same. Comes to Shema Koleinu, where we ask Kodesh Baruch Hu to listen to our voice. Says, Shema Koleinu Hashem Elokeinu. The child says, Shema Koleinu Hashem Elokeinu. The final verse that we say out loud is Al tashlichenu le'ez zikna, that a person shouldn't be thrown into old age suddenly. And the grandfather yells Al tashlichenu le'ez zikna, and he prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to be thrown into the challenges of old age. And he says, and the child just whispers Al tashlichenu. So the grandfather asks him after the prayers were over, he says, why that pasuk, that verse, didn't you pray with the same fervor and geshmak that you did with the rest of the tefillah? So he says, well, that particular pasuk is for people like you. You're getting old, you have to worry about that. I'm just a child, I don't have to worry about that one yet. So he told him, he said, well, the truth is that we're asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu not to be plagued by those things which come with old age. He says, what comes with old age sometimes is when people get too tired. They get too tired to rise to the challenges of life. And they say, well, this is too difficult for me. I'm an old man. I'm an old woman. I can't go further. You know, I've done a lot in my life, but I'm not going to try this one. I'll leave this. I'm not going to take this challenge. He says, a child, everyone has those moments when they think that, well, this is too much for me. And that's a plague of old age. And that's something that everyone has to have. Kavana, Kodesh Baruch Hu, give me the strength to rise to the challenge. Give me the strength to constantly grow. So as we said earlier, as Rabbi Singer mentioned, Mrs. Cech was somebody who, until the last day of her life, was continued to do those things which she was constantly doing her entire life until the last day of her life. And now, even after she's no longer with us, but her schus will continue to grow and continue to become greater and greater. And in Mitzvah Hashem, we hope that this and all the continued tzedakah and the good deeds of her family will continue to give her merit in the world to come. In Mitzvah Hashem. So.
First of all, very much thank you to Rabbi Singer, Rabbi Bletcher. Rabbi Singer I knew for a number of years, and Bletcher just met today, and just had a special hanor from a shir I heard today. Mesech Beyah is Yom Tov. Today was Yom Tov for me, real Yom Tov, and just lot of tremendous hergish I have here. I see a picture of my mother here in front of me. Actually, I mentioned that I have to say at the start, my mother had a tremendous midah of emes, of thinking of yenim. He was originally zarchet to be in a position to be mafish meiser, and really it's originally from my late stepfather. And I really have to mention Simon, Shlomo ben Gershon. If you notice the plaque that's going to be on the bookcase, it doesn't have her name particularly. This is something I was zarchet to my son through his mamachotin to have a sefer, a partnership in his sefer. The very simple thing with the neshamas, with all the whole set of neshamas. There was Maisa when the first time I was there to sell, my mother took me. So we went to Simon's grave, and she took me there. She said, Makbid, I should say everything I had to say, and for his previous wife. He was very careful how to say that. And she said she won't be going again. She said she can send me in a few years. I didn't want to hear from that, but I was there a few years later. She told me that Simon, as far as I know, was an Udmut Menesh. Everyone was literally burnt. And she told me that she was afraid that by his Aliyah, the Shabbos of Aliyah, she didn't want to be inside the shul because she was afraid she would just start crying. So his Aliyah was in the hallway. There's a miser brought down at the Gaon from Vilna. So like as a credible miser, just shakes you up a little bit to hear it. The Gaon from Vilna went with his brother to his mother's grave. And they did whatever I don't know what they did. The Gaon said to his brother, "You see our mother coming, appearing before us. She has tremendous pleasure, oinig, from our coming." Later on, the Gaon said, "I'm not going ever again." And that's how it was. He never went. Now, I'm bepacha to say over the story, and I think everyone here gets shaken up. One thing I think we can take from this is that the Gaon sitting and learning is worth more ultimate pleasure and earning for his mother, than anything he could have possibly done in any manner or form, with all the yichudim and everything he could have said and done otherwise. He just sat and learned. I don't have that eitzah. But there's another eitzah. The other eitzah is the pasuk in Shoftim, I think, that it says that Chizkiah, by his death, they made a special covet for Chizkiah. And the Chazal teach us what was the covet, was the honor they gave Chizkiah. They had a yeshiva on his grave. The Rashi says there, because he was Marbet Torah, he spread Torah to the whole world, so therefore they gave him that special covet. There, I saw someone showed me that there was a minig actually of Talmud Chacham, big Talmud Chacham, that they would go and have put yeshiva by the yotze. They make yeshiva by the Talmud Chacham for that Talmud Chacham. Now, fact of the matter is, my mother was supporting a kolov for many many years. Kolov one. So I think it's very appropriate that. The Be'ezer Shem, where Zoichud in some way to be mishtatef with a kolov, actually, I heard from Noam Godel who visited us in Montreal not long ago, and he said he loves to come to a kolov v'shtat. That's the heart, that's the soul of a community, and that really is. That's what Torah is. Torah is that which binds us, lifts us above. Everyone comes in. You come here Thursday night, usually, and now I answer the big simcha for those who are there, the mazel tov, but usually it's packed, people coming in. Anyone, any hat, any kind of yarmulke. A kolov is something that unites everyone, and this is our what binds us to Elukos ultimately. Whatever nusach you have, whatever derech you have, but this is what brings us all together. I was thinking, and in a certain way, also maybe it could be that it's appropriate for my mother, in a certain sense. My mother was very often taught to me that she like. she had three. She was married three times. Like, how do you toy for such a thing? Be married three times, and she didn't sell them. She said, but she made three men happy. Actually, today I heard a tape from Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal, that the original kolo was like my kolo, but different. Father-in-law, whatever. I was just a batlan. It wasn't mamshel kolo. But the original kolo was that was yechidim. Rich for all of Jewish history, it was yechidim, a father-in-law, a family, whatever. But in our day, you have a kolo is a kolo. A kolo is klal. Everybody. It doesn't work anymore. The old style. It's everybody. Really, I was today. I was saying I have pshat. Let me look in chumash. But maybe something in the sedra. I got a little shocked because my sir is in the sedra. The first kolo is in the sedra. That to give to Levian a Meiser, they should serve the Kodesh Baruch Hu instead of us. Not everyone can do it. It's not possible. That's what, and it's a chiyuv. You have it. You need it because everyone really wants. Everyone wants to be. That's what it is all about. That's our tachlis. That's what we all want. But it's not possible. So therefore, you have to. That's what a Meiser is really all about. That there should be those who that are mufrish for that purpose. That's why the Ram, and actually there was another ma'aser. When you go to Yerushalayim, you should be near those who are over the Hashem. You should pick it up or send a child to be there. That's what the whole ma'aser is all about. But I was thinking that I had actually, you have, before I came, I was discussing this with the Talmud Chacham, the mitzvah, Ksiva Sefer Torah, that the Paiskim taught us a new chiddush that we never saw in any other mitzvah. That usually, I mean, it's not possible, a mitzvah to change what we understand to be a mitzvah because you know the reason you don't do. By their abundance, by rabbinical decrees, you can change a mitzvah. But you don't find by a Torah-dic mitzvah, the Torah says, one of 630 mitzvahs to write a Sefer Torah, just because you know the reasons for it, how do you change it? And the poets can actually say you could do it with svarim, with books. How's it possible to do such a thing? So thinking, actually, truth of the matter is, it's almost implicit in the parasha. Actually, you find there's two times you find mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah by the Melech. The Melech has a mitzvah, and he should always be involved with it in order to come to fear Hashem. The mitzvah for all Klal Yisrael, it says Kisul and Shir HaSol. Write this song. Write this song because it will not be lost. The Torah will not be lost from Klal Yisrael from the children of Klal Yisrael, and put it in their mouths. Put it into the mouths. I mean, it's not a book. It's not a dry book. Put it into the mouths. How do you put it into mouths? How do you put it in the mouth of the children? The children, you're not going to put in, here, read this book. It's a different way. And that's why Hazina is actually a shira. It's written as a shira. And that's what the Torah is all about. The Torah is immortal. It's our bind to Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's our, that we as Klai, so we come together with Rabbi Yishai. So it has to be that it goes according to the derech of what you're dealing with. Actually, I saw Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that where do you find the halacha originally was that which is written has to be learned written. That which is spoken. And now just the opposite. Krishma, Shema, Tillim, everything you say by heart. No one tells you not to. Which is Torah Shepichsav, it should be read. And Gemara's more and more and more Svama will keep constantly being written. He says, because it has to be given over, it has to be taught. It depends on how it has to be done. So therefore, if the Paiskim, it's the only mitzvah that I know of, which actually the Paiskim actually changed the tzura of the mitzvah, because actually that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And that is the immortality of that's why I think it that's why it's so passive that we should be able to have a status with this color, which is her community, and that is our connection in the immortality. I just want to say something. The item should forgive me. It's almost like a letzonis, but I think it's Sukkah Passover here. I've been writing talking sometime with my nephew, and. sometimes talking about find statistics, very interesting statistics that come up with the happiest population in America. It's us, the Orthodox Jewry. The happiest place to live in America, New York City. They came out with another thing, the census, what do you call it, up north we call it Statistics Canada, what do you call it down here, census, whatever. They tried to figure out who's the happiest person in America. So it turned out there was an Asiatic Gerd Sedik in Hawaii. And they found him. They have his name. I think I sent, I mentioned my nephew, he said, but it's wealthier. If you're happy, you're wealthy. It comes automatically. But I said to myself, how come? Why should such a thing be? So you have to forgive me, and I could be very wrong, but I think I'm more or less, Yerushalayim is over here on this side of the globe. And you take a needle, and you put it through the globe, where are you going to come to? Very likely not too far, relatively speaking, on the globe. Why? The Netziv says, and first is known from the base medrash of the Goyim, that the last Golus is Golus America. This is the last Golus. The Netziv has, in a few places, says that Golus is a very good thing. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, it's kind of startling. Wonderful thing, Golus. Maybe it didn't have to be so bad as it's been. Just like Mitzrayim didn't have to be so bad, they just added on, right? But Golus is what's supposed to be. Our tachlis as a nation is to be a ner to the whole world, to be a light to the world. That's our purpose, that's our raison d'etre, that's why we're here, to be a light to the world. We were not so successful twice when we were in our land. So when Golus, we have raised the world. The fact is, everyone's Jewish today. The president even has a Jewish, an Orthodox Jewish life. I don't know if that's wonderful, but that's the reality. It's like, what's going on here, right? So this Gerd Sedek is an aid that our job is done. We're on the way back. That's why he's so happy. That's why we all have to be happy. Just saying that the Baruch Hashem, Be'ez Hashem, that the Simcha for us, that in some way to be mishtatef with this place of Torah, and we should. I just want to say, my mother was a wonderful walker to shul. We lived outside North Main, like 6th Avenue. I know 4th Avenue, 4th Avenue, and Third Avenue. It was a good walk. Not only that, the year my mother was nifteris, Yom Kippur, we lived in the North Tower, fifth floor of the North Tower. So the year my mother was nifteris, on that Yom Kippur, she walked to shul to Young Israel, didn't have glasses. She walked back all the way up, got her glasses, and came. And she stayed in shul the whole day. She was always a wonderful walker, especially for such things. And the Chazal tell us that a school of Arichas Yomim is to walk the shul in Chutz Laaretz, right? Because the shul is your destiny, and that is our chelik in Eretz Yisrael. That thing, the Maharak, speaks it out. That's where you're going. You are considered to be a person in Eretz Yisrael. So if my mother, that's what she was all about, and that's why she was thinking about helping live in Eretz Yisrael to her last breath, literally. So I think Baruch Hashem, we should be talking about Simcha and Chazak v'Emotz, and just a grace of Yashar Koyach for what's going on. Thank you. The Gemara in Erevin says there's a machlekes in the Gemara in Erevin whether Adam and Chava, whether the Eibishter created Adam. He created Adam and Chava as one. Either he created two faces, or he created Chava from the back of Adam. So the Gemara asks a question. The Gemara says, Zachar Nekeva Baram, that Hashem created a Zachar and Nekeva, but it's a Lashon Rabbim, and it says that the Eibishter created. And it says in another pasuk, "B'tzelekim bara bara," Bara Isai. So in one pasuk it says that the Eibishter created two, and one pasuk it says that he created one. So the Gemara asks as a stira. So the Gemara answers, it's not a stira, because b'tchila, in the beginning, also b'machshava libara shnayim. In the beginning, the Eibishter had a mind to create one. in two, and at the end he only created one. So the beautiful Daryan Yankiv, it's a sefer, a very famous sefer on Masechtas Erevin, that he says it's impossible that by the Eibishter there should be a change of mind. He's not a person. Kviyachol, he doesn't change his mind. The Eibishter. So how could we say that b'tchila b'machshava, in the beginning he had this kind of machshava, and at the end he had a different kind of machshava? How's it talking by the Eibishter to say that? So the Gaon Yankiv says a beautiful pshat. And that's, we know that there's that seif masa. We say seif masa b'machshava tchila. In the beginning, the end result, that's what is the machshava in the beginning. That's the thought in the beginning when you create. That he creates with that the end result in mind. Hashem created Adam with the intention that, of course, that there should be two. But he wanted, just like we find by other the whole Sheshes and Mebreches, he didn't. The Eibishter created all the Bria, and only when there was an Adam to be mispal and to Hashem. And he was going to be makritayv, and he was going to have gratitude to Hashem for what he created when he needed food. So he was mispal, and Hashem brought food. He rained, and it brought food. The same thing is that Hashem wanted that Adam should have a need to have chava, and he would be mispal for it. But of course, there's a final intention was to create two. So that's what it means. In the beginning, he had in mind to create two. And when he actually created, he created only one. the whole nedava that my father thought to bring, it's a wonderful mitzvah to bring, it was a chanishmas, Babi, but I was thinking a story to tie with this vart. There's a famous story from Reb Chaim Volozhiner, very famous story. It says by Bitzal, there's lakshav machshavos. That it was a lakshav machshavos by Kesev and Ubazov. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner used to have for the yeshiva in Volozhin, he used to have someone going around all the shtetlach to collect. In the beginning, he was he used to go around. I don't know if he even had himself a horse and buggy, but he went around of a pashto yid. Eventually, the yeshiva became bigger, and he had to go. So the yeshiva hired a horse and buggy for him to go from town to town. He went to Balbas, a gvir in one of the towns, and he had complaints. I don't want to give money to the yeshiva now. It's going to the horse and buggy. I don't want to pay for the horse and buggy. I want to give money to the yeshiva. So that was that year. The next year, Reb Chaim Volozhiner had a message for him. It says that Bitzal was a lakshav machshavos. What was this lakshav machshavos? That he knew where the kavanis of every person that donated money, he knew their kavanis, and he knew that this person had pure kavanis, he had pure thoughts when he gave the money. So his money, it's going to go to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This person's money is whatever. Also, he had a very wonderful machshavos. A different person is going to go for the toilet paper. And another person, I don't know where to go for. Each person, kefi, as much as his tahara, as much as his kavanas were in giving, donating the money. Many people have intention to give. Many people intention, and the money that was that was accumulated over all these years, it had an address. The Eibishter for sure had an address for where it was supposed to come. But every person is not so lucky that his money should end up in a makom kaddish, in a makom beis medrash, where people are learning the whole day. But seif masa b'machshava tchila, the Eibishter knows everyone, where it's where the true intention, where it's supposed to go. kafi, you know, what that person, the taharas hanefesh of that person. It's a telling statement of Bavi and my father that right away that the money ends up, the final destination of this money ends up in a makam kaddish.
It says in different places, for the Yashkoyach, rabbis, Werner, for the Divrei Torah and the Chizuk and the ideas behind who Mrs. Shek was and her purity of soul, her purity of intention. It says in the Gemara, the main way that a person's legacy lives on forever is that if the people who knew such an individual, they take upon themselves something, an attitude, a character trait, an aspect of that person's life, a philosophy, an outlook, whatever it is, and internalizes that idea, internalizes that character trait, internalizes that way of life. And through doing that, by making an aspect of that individual who is no longer with us, to take upon ourselves something about that individual, that person lives on in this world forever and ever. Now hearing this story, and now that I heard it again, the Rabbi Werner said, I think he told me this before, that the year that Ms. Shek passed away, as an elderly lady in her 80s, 90s, however old she was, that she actually come down 5 flights of stairs. I know many 25-year-olds who wouldn't go down 5 flights of stairs and get back up 5 flights of stairs if they forgot their glasses. But a woman who had such dedication to come to shul on Yom Kippur, a woman who, that shows that her life, her passion, her existence, her excitement about life was not about anything else except for Hashem, for Judaism, for Torah. That she actually come down 5 flights of stairs to come diving, and she didn't have her glasses, and she went back up, and instead of saying, I tried already once, I'm not going to try again, she went upstairs, came downstairs again to go and daven a whole day in shul. It says in Sfarim HaKadosh, in holy books, it says that Korach, who was the antagonist in this week's parasha, in this week's Torah portion, who staged a rebellion against Moses, the word Korach, Kuf Resh Ches, has also the same letters as Cheker, Ches, Kuf, Resh. The pasuk can tell, the verse in Psalm says, "V'ligdulo say ein Cheker." To His greatness, referring to Hashem, there's no limits. The word Cheker also means limits, limitations. A person who sets in his life limitations is bound by those limitations. A person says that he'll never grow greater than a certain level. He'll never be able to learn Torah higher than this level. He'll never become a greater person of greater character than of this level. He'll never get a more positive outlook in life more than this level. That's cheker. That's a person who lives his life with limitations. And a person who lives his life thinking that he's limited, that person will be limited. It's a fact. But a person who doesn't believe that they have limitations, a person who believes that they have all the capabilities in the world, a person who believes that hagam, a person may be elderly, a person might be sick, a person might be in difficult circumstances, but if a pekin, even so, a person is willing to go the extra mile, to push a little further, there's no limit to where a person could go. V'ligdulo say ein cheker. To Hashem, to God, there is no limits. And just like to God there's no limits, to us as children there's also no limits. And you could see that that's how Mrs. Shek lived her life. She didn't live her life thinking, I'm an elderly lady, how am I going to go to shul? How am I going to go up and down stairs, five flights of stairs over and over again? She didn't say, how am I going to continue collecting money as an elderly lady on her deathbed? She didn't say, therefore it's too hard, and therefore I'm giving up. But to her, her life was ein cheker. There's no limits to what I can accomplish. And since she lived her life, from what I understand, as a person who did not believe she was limited, that belief that her capabilities and her old age, and whatever it was in her life, and her difficult circumstances, did not prevent her from believing she could accomplish. And since she didn't believe they were going to stop her, the taka didn't. A person who said it to herself, she's going to go to shul and she's going to go. And it's a lesson all of us can internalize ourselves. Korach was a person, as it says in the holy books, Korach was a person who didn't understand that. Thought people were limited. And he wanted to take for himself all the different positions that he could get, because he felt if he didn't have those positions, then he was going to be limited also. But the truth is, a person is limitless. There's no boundary, there's no guidelines, nothing to say that I can't go further than I am now. The verse in Tehillim, in Psalms, King David tells us, Tov lehoides l'Hashem. It is good to thank Hashem, to thank God, l'zamer l'shimcha elyon, and to sing to your lofty name. Now, if you think about it, it's a little odd, the pasuk. The beginning part of the verse says, it is good to thank Hashem. And the second part of the verse says, and to sing to your lofty name. It seems that in the first part of the verse, King David is speaking to a person. It is good to thank Hashem. But then it seems to be, it switches, as if King David is speaking to Hashem. And to sing to your great name. It's odd that the position, it was third person, then it became first person in the middle of the verse. I believe that's the grammatical terminology. However, you could say maybe a different idea in the verse. You can read that David HaMelech, King David, is telling us, Tov lehoides l'Hashem, it is good for you to praise Hashem, l'zamer l'shimcha elyon, and to sing about your own name that it's lofty. Not the pshat that sing to Hashem's lofty name, but Tov lehoides l'Hashem, it is good to thank Hashem, and to say about yourself that you're lofty, l'zamer l'shimcha elyon, to say about your own name that it's lofty. To believe in ourselves, we have capabilities to grow much further than we thought originally. And if we can live our lives with that idea, if we can live our lives with that idea and learn from Mrs. Check that there's nothing to stop us, not old age, not difficulties, not sicknesses, nothing. There's nothing to stop us. If we can take that, internalize it, make it a part of our lives and live our lives that way, there's nothing to limit us. We will grow and grow and grow, and her legacy will live on forever. So it's my blessing to all of us here to take it, take the lesson home. Not to limit ourselves, not to think that we can't accomplish, but to realize the greatness that we can be. To sing to your own name and realize how great you could possibly be. There's no limits to what we can accomplish if we just believe that we can. There's nothing to stop us. So Bez Hashem, a new library should stand for that in our Beis Medrash. A new library should stand for the fact that we can persevere no matter what the difficulties may be, as long as we believe in ourselves. And it's my blessing to the soul of Mrs. Check, to the rest of her family, and to all of us here. We should grow, we should steig, we should increase ourselves, grow in our character, and her memory should live forever and ever in all of our hearts. We should merit to see the geula, the redemption, maybe soon and in our days. Mayer Bez Hashem will be at 10 o'clock. Shukran to everybody for coming.